I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, 5 o'clock on a Friday. Andy Hart flexing Ted Johnson with no sleeves.
My God.
Especially if you're watching on Twitch.
Nah.
He's excited. He rode the...
You got licenses for those?
Rode the hog in. And his Harley.
I need a permit. I rode Sherman in. My bike
Sherman?
Name is Sherman. Yes.
Did you name your bike?
You got to name your bike.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. I didn't know that until I got my license. And when I got the day I passed the class, the nice lady, the instructor, says you got to name your bike now. And I didn't realize that was a thing. So if you own a Harley, you name your bike. So my bike's name is Sherman.
Where'd that come from?
If you look at the color of my bike, it is army green.
So it's a tank.
Looks like a Sherman tank.
Mm. Kind of like that.
I did the same with my rollerblades.
What would you name your rollerblades?
Gary.
Gary right and Gary left, or?
Oh my God!
He's the best. Don't ever change.
I didn't know naming your rollerblades was a thing, but according to Stiz, it is.
Does your wonderful girlfriend also have a name for hers?
It's Pretty Girl.
Ah,
Pretty Girl. Yep.
On the nose.
2015 Softail Heritage. It's beautiful. It's got the fat kind of white walls.
Yeah.
And the tires that kind of give it that little differentiation from other bikes. It's cool.
Oh my God.
How Dan said, yeah, like he's a motorcycle.
Yeah? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want him to feel acknowledged.
On a weekend like this, driving up to like the Kangamangas or something with your girl on a bike. Oh my God.
The Kangamangas is so. We did a ride up there with about 7-8 other people, and they were ex-stadies. And so so they were literally giving us an escort like the whole way through the Kangamangas Mountains, our trail in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And it was one of the funnest experiences I've ever had on a bike.
Of course, Ted gets an escort.
I was going to say, of all the I'm Ted Johnson and you're not stories I've heard so far on this show, that might be the first.
I don't know. Going to Vegas with no tickets and ending up at U2 in the Sphere or whatever the hell that was a pretty good Ted Johnson story, too.
I got lots of them.
Yeah, we know. We like when you sprinkle them in and we don't see them coming. I like when they're just a surprising, like today, Sherman Tank, the Ted Johnson motorcycle. It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday, so it's a special, special drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoon.
So we've obviously spent a good amount of time talking about football. Patriots ended their preseason last night. They are already underway, cutting players from the roster, heading towards Tuesday's cutdown day. But there was a big baseball game last night in New York as well. And the Boston Red Sox got a 6-3 win. Roman Anthony hits a 2-run home run to give them a little insurance scoring late. The bullpen was really good after Lucas Giolito was just kind of meh to start the game. And speaking of naming things, we are in the process. We're going to be getting a puppy soon, guys.
Oh, baby.
There's been a family text chain of puppy name ideas been bouncing around.
What do you got?
Would you like to share yours, first of all?
Wait, my what?
Your nomination?
My first nomination was Miller.
Yes.
As in Miller Lite.
Right.
But, no, you know what popped up last night and now seems like it's got some strong support?
Roman. Oh, I like that.
I think that home run might have got our puppy named.
Interesting.
Yankee Stadium home run
late in
the game.
It's like a little small dog.
No, it's a golden retriever.
Oh, then okay, Roman. All right. That's fine.
Apparently, that's he doesn't cool. like it as much. It's colder treatment.
I'm not a, you know, it's I just I gotta it's gotta be hypoallergenic. So I'm more favor the poodles.
But plus, I feel comfortable. You call it Roman. People might know it's named after Roman Anthony, but he's got an 8-year contract, and he looks like he's going to be one of the best players in baseball for the next decade.
Yeah. Seems like a safe bet.
It does feel very safe. So where does
it go
wrong?
Probably a lot of people with dogs named Mookie who are saying, I thought it was a safe bet.
Yeah. Mookie was on the list.
Really?
Yeah, Mookie was brought up by one of my kids.
I'm glad you didn't
go
with that.
So if I tell you that my kid's dog, my kids have, is named Raji, what would you think of?
Raji?
BJ Raji?
BJ Raji.
No kid. You guys named your dog after BJ Raji?
Like they,
how did that happen?
It was.
Was it after he scored that touchdown?
My son was very young and just thought BJ Raji was this, you know, who doesn't like BJ Raji?
Yeah, I like him, but I don't know that I would name my dog
after him. It's through the eyes of kids, you know?
Okay. Anyway, we talk about Roman Anthony. He had a massive home run last night that brought us one of the best calls of the year, thanks to Lou Maloney and Will Fleming.
At least it's not bases loaded. It's just a man on second. Maybe we can get him in.
Roman drives one. High and deep and gone! Roman reigns supreme in Gotham.
Lean back.
A ground ball to short. Story's got it. He throws to first in time. Ball game over. And the Red Sox win game one, full on, balls on the table.
That was a big win for the Boston Red Sox. They managed the bullpen. The bullpen, as I said, did not give up any runs.
Acknowledge me.
And, Ted, we talked about this a little bit earlier. The joy in Lou Maloney when he hit the ball, but just before that, he was kind of taking a snarky shot at the baseball team.
And
he goes, good thing the bases aren't loaded. Maybe we'll actually score here.
At least it's not bases loaded. It's just a man on second. Maybe we can get him in.
Sorry.
Gone.
He's got to talk like that, because what are you seeing up to that? So he's seeing a team that in the first three innings had four walks. The Yankees had three errors and only one run to show for it. And then after that, you saw an inning that started off with a double. So no outs, a man on second, couldn't get him across. And then the next inning, they get a double to start the inning. And they, again, no outs, man on second, can't get him across. So it had to be frustrated at that point, thinking, well, it doesn't matter where the base runners are. They're not going to get him in. And then, of course, he hits the home run and they get him in. So, I mean, Roman was what a unbelievable like just swing. I mean, it was he was swinging for the fences, and it literally
because it's close, he should.
And then also, I thought he had a play out in right field that was brilliant too, like where he was backing up, and it was kind of like he kind of turned the wrong way, but he still made the play, just an athletic play. I mean, the guy's a top 10 defender out in the field as well, so the kid's been brilliant.
So I know you love statue talk. When should we start the Roman Anthony statue talk? Is he the next statue in town? Screw Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. The next statue in town is actually.
I think it's, you know, I mean, Ted Williams is already up there.
Hey,
so you might as well just etch one in there. There's plenty of room for it. I mean, we talked about this earlier, and I heard it on the Fox broadcast, Ted, but he's acing every test that you're giving him. Every first that Roman Anthony gets, first big hit, first walk-off hit, first home run in a big spot in Yankee Stadium. That's kind of a big box you got to check as a Red Sox player.
And it gives you a lot of confidence, obviously, in the young man moving forward, but it just gives you like hope that this didn't feel a little, even though it was, I don't know, there's both pitchers were kind of throwing up all over themselves.
Oh yeah. It's an ugly game.
The game was taking for, but it had a vibe. It had a feeling. Yep. If it had this like, oh man, this feels like it used to feel kind of vibe to it. And let's face it. If Roman Anthony can go into Yankee Stadium and perform like that, that just how do you not get excited about that? Because obviously that's a different environment to play those guys in that. It didn't look like the Yankees were the ones that were kind of not ready for the moment.
They aren't. And I swear, if you pounce on them, if you make it a little uncomfortable for them and their fans, they will be the ones that will crack under the pressure. And the other thing I love about Roman Anthony is, so the game I went to, the Friday night Fenway walk-off, now you got Yankee Stadium. We talk about, whether it's practice or Drake May a year ago, having sort of those visual, memorable, one-off moments where you can say, remember when he did X, or why? And he's already starting to stack those up a little bit. He's special, and your guy. I think you trust Alex Bregman and his assessment of fellow baseball players.
Without question. Loves the kid.
Yeah, he's got some pretty strong words for Roman Anthony.
They were good words.
He's probably the most mature 21-year-old in baseball-wise I've ever been around in my life. We're trying to find out what he does wrong, honestly. We don't know if he has any vices or anything. He just does everything the right way. And he's the moment's never too big for him. He knows who he is. He knows what he does well. And he sticks to that. And he executes.
Did he say we don't even know if he has any vices yet?
Yes, yeah. Yes,
oh,
he did say that.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting direction to go.
I don't know if it's a true vice. I mean, we saw the video. I think he enjoys being around a lot of women.
A lot of women?
I don't think that's the word he was looking for, though. You know what I mean? I don't think he meant vices.
Oh, no, I think he did. Like, he was saying, like, does this guy have a flaw, or is he St. Anthony?
Yeah,
no, he was definitely questioning in a joking way.
Man, I would think, too, in baseball, like, you're going to get to know your teammates unlike any other sport.
Yeah.
Because you're with them all the time.
Right.
So, like, if you have any picadillo, any negative anything, you're going to it's going to be picked up eventually, right?
Picadilly?
You know another word?
I'm not familiar with it.
I think it's Picadillo, but still.
Wasn't there a Piccadilly pub?
Yes, there was. Yep.
I was making up words. You know. But Picadillo is, I think, the word.
I think you said it right. I just it struck me. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Teach you.
You're teaching me. You are a teacher with
it's
no
amazing.
Sleeves.
I thought Tufts left nothing untaught. But
Dan Ball, good news for you.
Yeah, what's up?
We now have official reports.
We do.
Of.
Walker Buehler has officially been removed per Pete Abraham from the Red Sox rotation.
And you guys are taking joy in it, and I don't take joy in that.
Where do you see joy?
I don't know. You guys were like laughing behind the glass when we first heard the news.
That's not on the radio. We can have our conversations off air. Plenty of stuff that we don't bring on the air. I don't take joy in any of it. I like that I was right. I'm not going to lie to you. I think I was a little early maybe for the guy. And I'm disappointed that it didn't work out. And I am kind of intrigued, Ted, in what he can be as a potential bullpen weapon, maybe medium leverage kind of guy, but a guy who's been in October before, has pitched out of the bullpen and done well last year for the Dodgers in October. So I also hope, by the way, if this is just to get Richard Fitz into the rotation, I'm not a fan of this. If it's to get Kyle Harrison in the mix or maybe Peyton Tolley down the line, even if it's not this direct time around, that's what I'm hoping this leads to.
I mean, the guy got a ton of opportunities.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teams that would have sent him, pulled his role, diminished his role a lot sooner than the Red Sox. I think part of that is just Cora is going to give veteran, accomplished players like him as much benefit of the doubt as they can until the very, very end. And so Walker Buehler is at the end, man. I mean, he just 9 games in a row where he can't get past 5 innings.
Yeah.
In 9 straight games, enough is enough. And so they're making the right decision.
Yeah. And his comments didn't necessarily earn him any extra time. The guy is struggling, emotionally, mentally, confidence-wise. He's been struggling with his confidence for 2 months now, ever since you DFA'd him in your mind.
Well, maybe there's the correlation. But, Ted, I mean, you could probably – well, you can speak to this certainly better than I can. But when you're dealing with the reality of, hey, I might no longer – my time as a baseball player doing this thing that I've done since I was 3 years old might be getting closer to the end. I feel for him. I feel if that's the kind of – internal battles that he's having.
You know why? Because you don't want to limp to the finish line.
Right.
You know what? I think there's probably not, other than quarterback in the NFL, a lonelier position in sports than the pitcher in baseball.
Right.
Like, it's just you and you alone, brother, out there. And you just, especially pitching bad for a team that believed in you and that has maybe a little something special cooking up that you aren't a bigger part of that success,
right.
is gonna be hard to hang up the cleats. My guess is he'll see if he can't catch fire. I mean, he's obviously gonna be still. I was curious. I didn't know he's been in a bullpen role before.
Yeah, that was
in how he would react to that.
Yeah, kind of alternated, and that was one of the biggest things that I think got him the contract he got. Is he pitched the last inning of the World Series last year for the Dodgers, and he wasn't. I mean, he was great in that. So if he still has the fire that kind of attracted me to him when he first signed in Boston, then I'm curious.
So he's not going to, you know, he's not going to tell Cora, you know, take, I don't want it that role. That's not who I am. Like, he's going to say, yeah, coach, whatever you say, coach, kind of. I mean,
that's what I'm hoping.
That's, yeah.
Red Sox got a big win in New York. The Patriots got shellacked 42-10. They didn't play well.
Good
but,
word.
Nothing that happened yep. on the field, I think, was overly dramatic from a Patriots perspective. Their starters didn't really play. Yeah, you had Duggar and some other guys out there doing some things. I think the most notable thing from last night was what the head coach had to say after the game when he was asked a seemingly innocuous question about Jalen Polk and his shoulder surgery.
Mike, there was a report today that Jalen Polk will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No, I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
So rats. To Giardi's point, some of these.
Yes.
So he acknowledged what Giardi said, where there's a couple that have snuck through the gates here.
And I know this is a big deal. This was a big deal to big Bill Belichick, that one voice. I'm the one voice, like no whispers and all this. I also wonder in my mind if this could be. So we earlier kind of workshopped this, worked through it. Could he be talking about Elliot Wolf, who's a holdover and seen by Ted as kind of the eyes and ears of the ownership group? And then it came to my mind when we were kind of in a break. Ted, you brought up Bill Belichick's interview with the Boston Globe yesterday when he bitched about you got the owner and you got the owner's son and you got all these people. I mean, I think we all believe owners and owners' sons, whoever you want to call them, talk to the media. Have sources. You know, Adam Schefter might be a text buddy with somebody. Ian Rappaport might be a text buddy with somebody. That would be the worst thing, in my opinion. If he's talking about Elliot Wolf, okay. Now have a power fight, win some games, get rid of Elliot Wolf. But if you're already in any way feuding with the ownership level people.
No way. No way.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Because that would be a terrible.
Not a million years.
Terrible start. Mike's, you haven't played a game.
Mike's a smart guy, man. He knows that would not be. No.
He's a smart guy, but he's.
Well, why on earth would the ownership care about a report on a Jalen Polk? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
They do not care.
I believe, based on my history, that the ownership level does have sources in the media. That's all I'll say.
Oh, of course. But that story it's not even going to register with Robert Kraft.
I hope so. Or his son, as Bill Belichick questioned on his interview. I hope we're not going down that road. But I will say, Mike Vrabel feuded with Robert Kraft a little bit or butted heads with Robert Kraft back in the day with the CBA and Patriot Place and got him his butt traded.
So you don't think it's Elliot Wolf?
I think it's probably Elliot Wolf.
Well, they just say it's Elliot Wolf.
I'm not 100%.
Oh, gosh.
Are you 100%?
Yeah, it's 100%.
Oh, I'm not 100%.
I tell you what, all the other options you've given me are 0%. So until you can give me a better
option. I disagree
with
that. I think there is a chance it could be McDaniels. I think there's a chance it could be Groh.
Nope.
I think there's a chance it could be Jonathan. I think there's a chance it could be somebody in media relations.
Nope.
They've all been here for 40 years and have.
That's it.
Questionable allegiances with the organization. And I also don't really know why he's so upset about it. That's the next level. For the leak, I get why he's mad about the leak, but why is the information annoying to
him? Maybe there's other information that has been leaked, and he used that as an opportunity to make his point when he wasn't able to before.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Because he specifically said it plural in that answer. Yeah. Like, we got to figure out where these leaks are coming from.
And Giardi backed that up when we spoke with Giardi, that he's heard there's been other issues.
So it's probably now like, I'm sick of this continuing to happen multiple times before we've even kicked off.
Right. It's almost like it's a little thing to get kind of that worked up about, but you're like, this might be my only chance to make a point about it without games coming up or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. And I think we're
on
to something.
Oh, we're definitely breaking this down.
We're breaking this case
as much as anyone, maybe more than some think we probably should here on WEEI Afternoons. I'm sorry, though. The head coach called out rats in his organization.
That's a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if it was like Belichick in year 23 on the back end. Mike Vrabel's been the head coach for 8 months.
And it was also unprompted. It was just, hey, can you add anything to this report? We got to get these narcs out of this organization stat.
Like, and that's the other thing. He could have just said, I don't love the reports. I don't love that information.
Right.
He said rat.
Yeah.
Rat is a biting,
feels
like,
personal.
Yes.
Personal.
Your rat is a derogatory term. Yes.
Right. That was
Good
the
stuff.
More we talk about this, the more I like talking about this. The more that I want to thank Mike Vrabel for what he said last night after that Patriots game. And finally, I did want to give real quick the results of today's show poll on Twitter, at Jumbo Hart, at WEEI Afternoons. And it was sort of similar to the question about, you know, what do you feel really good about, but in a little different way. Now that training camp and the preseason games are over for the Patriots, how do you feel about the team's chances this season? Better, worse, or about the same? What do you think the winner is? Since you're filling in for Fitzy, you get to guess.
I think it's about the same, and I'm going to go with 45%.
It's 54%. So most people feel about the same. The thing that I find interesting is the better and worse categories are neck and neck together.
Really?
24% feel better, 22% feel worse. So there's almost equal groups that saw the same information and feel totally differently about it. I find that interesting.
Interesting. I wonder where the positive, not to be overly pessimistic, but I would love to know the rationale of the feel better people. Is it other than Travion Henderson, what can you unequivocally point to and go, I feel better? Maybe you feel better about Will Campbell now than when you were being told he had short arms. Maybe some people could probably construe, I feel better about Drake May now he had a decent camp. So it's probably, if you were to narrow it down, it's May and then probably an explosive guy like Henderson, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, I think it might be Drake May, and I think we've had enough reporters say, and even Josh McDaniels mention it, even when the bleep is hitting the fan around him, he hasn't fallen apart. He hasn't imploded. And I think that's a good sign for him. And that's a good reason, I think, to have some optimism. Because you assume they'll fix that. They'll get the line better. The other things will get better. And if he can deal with the worst case scenario, then imagine how good he'll be when it's not the worst case scenario.
Right.
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we've been teasing it, talking about it a little bit. Dan Ball worked on it all night long. He had notepads and computers. Dan Ball's 53-man Patriots roster projection.
My second one.
2.0.
Yeah.
That's next on WEEI Afternoons, and Ted Johnson has promised to tear it to shreds.
Fantastic.
Stick around for that, but first we have Dan Ball with what's trending.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Patriots preseason finale last night. They cut 14 players today. They have to get down to a 53-man roster by Tuesday, although, as our guy Giardi said, it could be a temporary roster, then the waivers. All of a sudden, there's guys coming and going the next couple days after that. But we're going to play the game that everybody's playing. You've read it. All the websites have them. All the papers have them. And even our own Dan Ball
has
his roster projection.
Our own supercomputer.
2.0, Mr. Analytics himself. Yep. So the floor is yours, my friend.
All right, we'll start on offense. So I have 24 on offense, 26 on defense, and then, kicker, punter, and long snapper. So offense, two quarterbacks, Drake May, Josh Dobbs. Running backs, three were obvious for me. The one I was trying to figure out was the fourth, but based on who was playing yesterday, I went Stevenson, Henderson, Gibson, and then Terrell Jennings was my fourth running back. Go ahead.
Are you going to another position? I feel like can we talk?
Yeah, I think we pause.
Okay. Let's pause.
Position.
Start with
quarterbacks. Yeah. Were you surprised that they weren't keeping a third?
No, because I've always thought if you get to your third, you're scrambling. And your boy didn't play very well last night, I didn't think.
Yeah, Woolridge. He had a bad night.
He was not good. He was at his best a couple games ago. Yeah. No one's going to come get him. He's like a 27-year-old, undrafted. He'll be on your practice squad if you want him.
You know what it is? It's like, can you just, you have so many needs that you can't waste a roster spot. So I'm okay with that. So, okay, we all agree, two quarterbacks, fine. It is interesting, four running backs, because I could go back and forth on that. I think they ultimately keep four. The only thing is, I would change who the fourth guy is from what you picked
to Jermichael Hasty. Gotcha. Hasty. Okay.
Also, you may need a fourth if you're not totally comfortable with Stevenson's health.
So that's why I have a fourth. I had three running backs, and I was going to try to shoehorn a seventh wide receiver.
I think they're going to keep four.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with that. So, okay, so the one switch there, but we'll stick with that. Six wide receivers, no real deviation from what Giardi had. Diggs, Hollins, Douglas, Booty, Kyle Williams, and Efton Chisholm makes the freaking roster.
I don't think it's even a debate.
I feel like it's kind of accepted now.
Yeah, that's
but that always makes me wonder if, because we all agree, they're going to have a curveball. And
nope, I guarantee. I bet you more. I'll be curious how it turns out. I bet
Bourne,
you
Baker.
What happens with those guys? That was going to be one of my questions I posed.
Yeah, Baker, I'm with Giardi. I think at this point you could probably get Baker through to the practice squad.
Yeah.
And keep him.
Yeah.
He continues to fight the ball a little bit. The catching, he can make plays and then have drops. And then he's got the special team value. Is anybody going to, again, he's going to be the seventh best receiver on one of the bottom three wide receiver groups.
It was ranked.
Who's going to play
31st, I think it was ranked.
Yeah. What team is going to be like, I need that receiver? No. He's on your practice
squad. He'll make it to the practice squad.
And then where does Bourne go? Can you sneak an IR out of it? Or
is
you just
he even healthy? Right. He might be an IR, but then if he wants to play, it's one of those where they do the settlement and he ends. Because there's sneaky teams. Minnesota, San Francisco, there's been this litany of teams now that are looking for veteran receivers. Whatever you think of him, Kendrick Bourne's a veteran receiver.
Yes.
He might be able to help somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I'm him, I'm not taking like a fake IR stint. I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to go play.
I know Minnesota was contacting wherever Adam Thielen is now. I think Carolina to see if they can get him for the short term. Maybe engage if that, if nothing goes. So those are my six. Three tight ends. The Patriots already made their cuts at tight end, so I think it's kind of obvious. Henry, Hooper, and Jack Westover.
Westover. He's played all the fullback positions.
Yeah, he's a fullback, baby.
There you go. What?
He does. He's decent. So for a third tight end, I think they have a higher floor than maybe some tight end rooms. They just have a lower ceiling than tight end
also
rooms.
He's a guy that might not be here for long. I think Josh wants a fullback, and if there's one available, released, that could be a guy that gets sent packing when an actual fullback's
but
available.
He's Westover is serviceable.
Yeah.
He'll be okay in that at that role.
I have nine offensive linemen, and the ninth is something that I tried to glean from yesterday's preseason game. The other eight I was pretty set on. So Campbell, Wilson, Bradbury, Onwenu, Moses, Marcus Bryant, Vidarian Lowe, Ben Brown, and then my ninth, because he was subbed out and Caden Wallace stayed last night, Cole Strange is my ninth offensive lineman for the time being.
I think the end of the offensive line is interesting. Vidarian Lowe, I think, is an interesting guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was your starting left tackle a year ago. I feel like he should be in this mix, but I'm not totally sold that he is. Demontre Jacobs?
I feel like Lowe and Jacobs are kind of one and the same.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe only one of them's kept around. I don't know if you get both
of them. It's one or the other. That's interesting. Cole. I think I could maybe see Cole Strange. He's making first-round money, but it's his first contract still.
Right.
So
I bet you he's gone.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you already presented it to him, so yeah, I know
I
where
like
you were leaning
guys,
weeks ago.
Though. So I don't know. Who would you replace him with?
You could keep both of those guys. Like, I don't feel
Aaron Lowe and Demontre Jacobs.
And I definitely think Giardi's right that whatever nine they keep.
Yeah, that's the thing. Strange is my ninth guy for now. If he made it to opening kickoff, I would be kind of stumped.
Right. I think that ninth spot is probably going to change once or twice in the next couple of days.
I think he brings you just enough flexibility all over the interior that you could make the, like, all right, he could take a couple snaps at center if he had to. He could play both guard spots if he had to.
Could move him to fullback if you had
to. Right, right. You know, because he's at that big of a crossover. So that's my offense so far. Any big notes so far?
No, I'm okay with all those. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, it generally is the case. It's like the last spot at each position. Yeah, you know the first X number, and it's that last one you're debating between two or three guys.
Right, right. All right, so up front, we got Christian Barmore, Milton Williams, Kyrus Tonga, Joshua Farmer, and Jeremiah Farms are my five up front on the defensive side. Inside linebackers, Robert Spillane, Christian Ellis, Jack Gibbons, and Jelani Tavai. And then on the edge, Keon White, Harold Landry, Kalamon Chason, Braden Swinson, Truman Jones, and I got Elijah Ponder making the roster.
Yeah.
It was a quote from Mike Smith, their coach.
That
is another one that is an extremely bright future, probably one of the best undrafted free agent pickups that I've ever seen.
Yeah. When a coach says that, I feel like you're making the team. That's like the old Larry Izzo story. He's on the team.
Or else, if you say that and then let him go, I'd be like,
right,
wait a minute, didn't you just say I was the best ever?
Right. Plus, he also was one of the first people I noticed when we went down there. One of the practices, he popped.
He flashed.
Like, it was like, well, you had to get your roster and be like, who the hell is this guy? And it was right. him. So, yeah, I think he's making the team. So you don't have Jennings.
I don't have Jennings. I still maintain I think he has enough value in a trade. I think he has enough value where
That's why he didn't play last night.
He's probably the most likely to get traded because he has some value and he's not too expensive and he didn't play last night. Like, there's probably a lot of factors that would say he's going to land somewhere.
And I think it's also fair to say, like, he's not a – at no point have we been saying he's unequivocally a bad player. He's just not the right player anymore.
Well, I think he's better than Josh Uche, and they traded Josh Uche to the
– Right.
So if this guy's better theoretically –
overrated that guy.
Oh, my God.
How he got a second – he got a second contract – and it was a terrible one. And then he saw what other guys were getting paid at his position, and he was pissed. He agreed to, like a month later, he went public about his, how he wasn't happy about his contract.
So Anfernee Jennings, I don't have. By the way, interesting time in Boston sports where I think we have the two Anfernees. We have Simons and Jennings for the time being, which is just something that doesn't matter to anybody except for me. And I also don't have Marte Mapu making the roster, unfortunately, after saying that he had a pretty good preseason finale. All right, and then your secondary, I have six safeties as currently constructed. Hawkins, Woodson, Peppers, Epps, Schooler, and Kyle Duggar. I do have making the roster right now. If you can't find a trade, if you can, you trade him. If not, I think you keep him. And then your corners, Carlton Davis, Alex Austin, Gonzo, DJ James, Marcus Jones. With your long snapper, Julian Ashby, Bryce Berringer as your punter. And I have Parker Romo as my kicker.
I do too.
I was stunned that Giardi went the other way, right?
Me too, yeah.
He's all in on Andy Borogalis.
He didn't feel real confident, though.
No, but it felt somewhat
He basically just
sourced.
Defaulted to, well, it was he's the draft pick, so.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I thought he was either on IR or gone.
Me too.
And now Giardi speaks. I respect Giardi. I think he's pretty in touch with a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, the answer that Vrabel gave was not a ringing endorsement yesterday. And I think he also ended it with, but we have two good kickers after being asked about one kicker.
Right.
So that kind of made me think he's thinking about the other kicker.
And we just lived the life. What year was it? 2 years ago when they got rid of Nick Folk. They traded him, actually, and they kept the young guy, and you ended up regretting it. The young guy wasn't that good, and Nick Folk was killing it down in Tennessee. So, like, I don't know. Do you learn a lesson from that? Like, maybe that's not
new
the
regime.
Great approach.
New regime.
New regime. Yeah, so we'll see.
So that is my that's my 53.
I don't know if I can argue with any of it. So my guess is that is going to be a pretty dead bullseye 53 man right there.
The one change is Jamichael Hasty, if they take a fourth running back, which is what you called out. And maybe Mapu sneaks in somewhere in the middle there. And then you have to figure out your offensive line, obviously. I think that's for me, going through this exercise, the hardest thing and the last thing that I did was my backup swing tackles and just offensive linemen in general.
I think the 9 is the number. 8 feels too light.
Yes.
And maybe 10, but I feel like 9 is the number.
Because your 5 that you're starting aren't a great 5.
Nope.
So I would definitely go lean more than less if
and
I'm
youth.
Making that.
Not only are they not great, they're young, so you may not even really know. They could crap their pants, and all of a sudden you're scrambling to deal with a couple rookies that weren't ready.
Right.
So, yeah, you probably have to keep a little more there. But, yeah, I don't have any strong arguments against – you know what I was thinking they could really use would help out is – so they're going to use a tight end as a fullback, the third tight end as a fullback. They could almost use one of those old-school tweener running backs who can play fullback and running back. So – kind of back up Ramondre Stevenson as the bigger bodied running back, but also fill a role as a blocking back. I don't know if
ask a running back to block. Yeah, see how that goes.
You said it worked with the All-Star.
Yeah. All-Star loved being a fullback. Loved it.
So I know we gotta hit a break, but the one question I wanted to ask from you guys off of this exercise is in that like 2 week period that Mike Vrabel talked about where they're improving the roster, what are the areas that you expect us to be talking about in 2 weeks going, oh yeah, they improved the roster there?
Offensive line.
Okay.
Safety.
Okay.
And maybe corner.
Maybe corner.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see a veteran corner because I'm not the biggest Marcus Jones at corner fan. So I think they could use a Jonathan Jones, for example, that type of player, a veteran with some versatility, some experience, some talent left. So, yeah, offensive line,
like it.
Safety, corner.
And I'd say maybe a defensive lineman.
Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't roll that out.
I think Gandy's right. Those were probably the ones I feel.
What's that?
I think they feel good about their wide receivers, their tight ends. Their quarterbacks, their running backs. So it's O-line, D-line, and safeties.
There you go.
And I wouldn't rule out a better third-string quarterback either. I also wouldn't rule that out. The way that Vrabel differentiated between Dobbs as the backup.
They don't play a third on the roster.
Though. No. But it could be a practice squad guy that they bring in. And you can put a veteran on the practice squad now. So you could find some guy. You know, Tommy DeVito.
I know we joked about Jameis Winston getting traded, but I'd call. I don't know if that's too good of a quarterback to put behind Drake at this point, where you want to have a clear backup. But
did you see the videos Jameis put out there after the game yesterday?
Love Jameis.
Well,
we got to get to break. Put a pin in that. We'll get back to that. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, he doesn't have sleeves today, but he does have some opinions on movies. Ted Johnson's Movie Club, Odds and Ends, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson. On the field, he's always brought the hammer and the heart.
Smack down. He hit a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
Off the field, he's a refined gentleman of culture and fine art.
Hard to believe that Johnson, 240-pounder, what he really likes to do is read romantic novels. He gets inspired by those.
Buy your tickets and grab your seats.
Movies are like books, but with pictures.
It's Ted's Movie Club.
You don't know?
It means I'm gonna f*** this fella.
On WEEI Afternoons.
That's a fun little intro right there. I like that.
Of course you like it. It's the Ted Johnson intro. It's your centerpiece.
I think Dick Imbert kind of embellished a little bit with the romance novels. Just a little bit, but hey.
Would you like to clarify 25 years later? Whatever.
Just, you know, it wasn't that into romance novels. You know, not as much as Dick Imbert wants you to believe.
So you didn't read the book that we got?
No, I
feel like the part about it influencing your play was maybe a little
bit
of
a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't exactly.
I'll unwind and read one and, you know, get into my feelings a bit.
Right,
but
to credit those books for, you know, my style of play, I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
I think it was more he wanted to create this juxtaposition, the big neck, the hard-hitting middle linebacker, and then the
I wanted you to look at me and just not know what to know.
Yeah.
How do I figure this Johnson
out? I know where I'm coming from.
Middle linebacker, but he reads romance. I can't figure him out, man.
All right, it is time now for the Ted Johnson Movie Club, which is our odds and ends for the day, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Sicario, right?
It is. Sicario.
Was the subject 2015, if my memory serves
Correct.
Me right, from what I read. Emily Blunt, who I thought was very attractive, actually.
You liked her
movie.
Now, huh?
I did. I kind of liked her.
Hot take.
Benicio del Toro.
Who I love.
Josh Brolin.
Which is great. He's in every other movie these days.
And I would say the thing that jumped out at me for this movie, it was good pacing. 2-hour movie that I thought really moved right along. And the anxiety that it created in me, I believe, through Emily Blunt's character.
Yeah.
I put myself in her spot.
Yeah.
And there's no way in hell I would have done anything she did. I would have tapped out at the beginning when they asked her, like, you have to volunteer to be on this crew or whatever.
Yeah, but to get to the bad person, though. Come with us, you're going to get the people that are really responsible for it.
I am not getting on a plane with, like, hired guns that I don't know, going where I don't know. I was told I was going to El Paso, and suddenly I'm in Mexico.
And I'm doing something that I don't even really know why.
Right.
Or if I'm doing it for a good reason or a bad reason, but I'm here. They trust me, but I don't trust them.
And it's definitely illegal.
Absolutely. She's by the book, and she realizes everything. Somewhere along the line, she's like, none of this is by the book.
Right.
Not one aspect of this is by the book. That said, I thought it was a very entertaining movie.
Oh, good. That's
I enjoyed it.
Did Deirdre watch it?
Because no. This was
she
solo
walked
affair.
Out of the first movie.
She would have enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I can tell you, I think she was asleep already, but she would have enjoyed this movie.
Why did I get the impression you did not like this movie originally? So you're like, okay, well, what would you give it a rating-wise?
So I think this is 4 Big Johnsons.
Oh, good.
4 Big. And I got the desired effect from Christian Arcand in the background of the giggle.
I didn't know that was the rating scale. Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's Johnson. You rated on Johnson.
Sure.
It gets weird when it's a half a Johnson. That's a whole Lorena Bobbitt
like
thing.
Like a semi-Johnson?
Yeah, then it gets weird. We're full Johnsons right now.
We got a little bit of an extended show, and you're sitting there, Christian. Have you seen the movie Sicario?
No. I thought you were talking about Serpico, the old movie with Al Pacino from the 70s where he had that cool beard. But no, I've not seen this
one. So you can't really comment. All right, Daniel, and what would you give it?
Andy kind of nailed it. I was also at 4 out of 5. Comparing it to what I'd given so far, I'd given 4 to Argo and then 4.5 to The Social Network. I really enjoyed it. I knew as soon as you get to that first scene in the house when they peel back the drywall and you see what's been going on, I knew I was in for a ride and was kind of wondering, based on how graphic that was, what am I in for? But yeah, love the story. And then Emily Blunt was fantastic. Also, shout out to Jeffrey Donovan, who's the lead character in Burn Notice, which is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
So that gets an extra point in and of itself for Johnson's for me.
Okay, very, very good. And Stizzer.
Sicario is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Oh my God. The setting, the sound design, when they're in the SUVs and they're heading into Mexico, and it's like, I mean,
I think, though, to Andy's point, that creates the tension in the movie.
100%. The sound design is super important. It's super well acted. I love Josh Brolin. 4.5 huge Johnsons
for me. I love it. You love it.
Can I be honest about one thing, though, Ted?
Please.
And I told Stiz this yesterday, I think. I do feel like, to truly enjoy it and understand it, I think some plot things maybe fell through the cracks that I'd have to watch it again.
Oh, really?
There's a lot going on.
I felt there was a lot going on, and I felt there were, like, again, when Emily Blunt is, like, kind of looking around and observing and trying to figure out what's going on, I'm doing the same thing, and maybe I'm missing some cues.
Can I just help you out with that?
No, because I don't
want to watch it again.
I think I'm going to watch it again.
Okay, so...
And it's free. Nailed that part.
Do you understand why they needed her to go with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she had to be on the crew to make it legal, even though it's still questionable in terms of its legality.
To make it appear to be legal.
Yes, correct. To at least pretend. I liked her boss. He was a sneaky character that I liked.
Yeah. Yes.
When he was explaining to her in, like, I think it was maybe the second meeting, he's like, the boundaries have moved, so this is within the boundaries. People that are elected, not appointed, have made these decisions, so your boundaries have moved. I liked him.
But I also feel like you get the sense that, like, to launder money, you got to have people on this side of the border working with you.
Yep.
And it highlights that, I think.
And you probably shouldn't try to have sex with
them.
She probably not.
That would just be the coolest job, I think, to do what they do. Because it's kind of like you're off-grid. You kind of have your own rules. And you get the bad people.
Oh, yeah. And you have flip-flops. The guy, like, remember one of the first meetings? He's in, like, flip-flops. And he's just...
There's no oversight.
Right. You know immediately he's a badass who does what he wants, basically.
Yeah, but sometimes those are the type of missions where they tell you, like, hey, this is off the book. So if something bad happens to
you're on your own.
No one's going to know.
You're on your own.
It. And why don't you go out front and we'll shoot toward you or something, that kind of thing. That's fair. All of a sudden you're dead. Yeah. That's the anxiety. That's why I would have never got on the plane. I would have never gotten in the car. I would have never gone anywhere with any of these people. That's why I'm not made for that world.
And how about that last scene where he has to make her sign that piece of paper?
Yes.
Oh, that was
I wouldn't stand on any balconies anymore. Yeah.
But you know, that was a good line, too.
You know where I had a hard time with Emily? Because I thought she was a wet blanket almost too much, because she knows that his character's wife and kids got boiled in acid. And she didn't care
I don't know if she knew the extent of it. Okay, like, I don't know if she really
knew.
She did,
and she was still.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Liked with her, she evolved kind of quickly when her partner shows up and he's asking questions and she's like, just go with it.
Yeah.
Like, you were asking questions like 10 minutes ago. Now you're like, just go with it.
Well, because she probably was like, where do I start?
Right.
Like, everything that she was doing was off, off the books.
Real quick, do we have a new assignment?
You told me that you said that to me,
you didn't prepare.
Put a pin in that.
Next week, we'll have the next
4.5.
Four and a half. Big Johnson, cool.
So. 4.5 Big Johnsons from the Big Johnson himself, Ted Johnson. Stick around. Christian Arcan will take you into the Mass Mutual pregame show, Red Sox Baseball, Big Game 2. Can they keep the momentum going? And the debut of the password at Yankee Stadium. Fun game tonight. We'll talk to you on Monday. Patriots cuts are underway this weekend. They'll be finalized next week. We'll be back 2-6 Monday. Talk to you then.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.